Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the greatest and heavy running tonight. Gonna have another great night of studying spiritual authority and digging into the depths of spiritual authority, which it isn't real deep, but it's all of
Amen. Welcome Zoom or welcome YouTube.
Welcome YouTube, my dad. I've been trying to come up with one verse to get all of the spiritual authority message started. My teacher. You guys are doing good. You went to my teacher. Wait, but that's a bad heart. That's in that room. I didn't say it wrong.
He didn't say it wrong.
I think I want to go back now and find all the different messages that we've got there ourselves and listen to them and see how far we've grown. That's the good thing about keeping these messages, that you can notice see how far you've grown.
Yeah. Amen. Welcome, John Wayner, on YouTube. Did you push your microphone up, love?
No.
Oh, huge. Huge. Yeah, again.
Too
funny. All right.
And faithful all their life to live with you and to function with you, Lord. We bless each of us that are with us tonight.
Amen.
All of our brothers and sisters. No matter their background, no matter their walk of life, no matter anything, we thank you for our brothers and sisters, for those that call themselves a community of faith. And then they're with us. More than those that will just happen by tonight and find themselves here with us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We bless them.
Thank you,
Lord, that tonight revelation knowledge is flowing. And we know that every revealed word you give us and you speak to us, that is designed in it the very ability to bring itself to pass. And this is what we will do. If we open up our hearts, we open up our minds, we will be led by you tonight to be instructed, to be taught, to be trained, so that we can live in this life unencumbered of false doctrine and erroneous teaching.
Amen.
Awake, unable to move. What's the word I'm looking for? No power. Paul said, by the Holy Spirit, I didn't come to you with persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that faith would our faith was not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The prophet said, not by might, power, but by your Spirit. Tonight we receive your word, line upon line, precept upon precept. We lay down all of our religions and doctrines, and we open up the living, breathing, holy word of God and faith. Holy Spirit, teach me tonight how to walk with you in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There we go.
Hold on for just a second here. It seems my sound is not coming through my speaker. So give me 2 seconds here to see what that is about. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Father, for wisdom and all of our technology working. I'm going to pray, Father. We pray for every place in this nation and around the world where revival is happening. We speak and declare that I will be done on this earth. Knowing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit flows deep in every state. Thank you that it's not going to just be an isolated place, but may the body of believers long for, draw on, feed from you. In Jesus' mighty
name. Oh my goodness sakes.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Yes.
That's all right. Well, let's talk about something else while we're here. Now, each one of these things that we're listening to is available for you to study on YouTube. Not all of them on YouTube you have the ability to put in a timestamp. But I would continually encourage you, like you guys hear me say all the time, when one of these messages really has an impact on your life, then that means that's a revelation. It comes out of to you to go after that revelation and to come to the understanding of it. So, that's why I teach, but it requires him. Leave it in a Word document. Leave it in a note. Leave it in an email. And go back and continually listen to it over and over and over. Write down those and then go study those verses all in the list. Hang them together. Because if you say them all by themselves, that's just
there.
But when you put a whole list of verses together that are all about the same subject, you realize God has been speaking about the subject all the way through the Bible. And in the mouth of two witnesses and a thing is established. But when you can find a verse of a specific subject in 15 or 20 books of the Bible, now you know you have a very solid, stable doctrine that you can live your life by. And the Word of God is able to make us strong. In Jesus' name. Did you get it, love?
Yep. Here we go.
Here we go. That's good to know.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. More good word. Did you have anything to say about this love, or you want me to just keep moving? He had made a...
Let's keep moving, but if you got something to say, say it. Keep moving as you say it quickly.
Yeah. As soon as I started to think about it, I lost it, so I'll have to remember it again, and then I'll mention it next time. Here we go.
I'm moving. Where do I need to be, James?
I love the understanding that he's given, which I wasn't sure about it when he said, man is...
I think he put some more words to it this time. Can you hear me?
About man creating Satan.
Yeah, because he said in a sense about 5 or 10 times.
Yeah.
So his statement is that if man hadn't allowed Satan to deceive him,
yes,
then he would have had no power.
Right.
We can see that Satan actually didn't fall in the garden. He fell in heaven. As Jesus said, I kicked him out. But, and then this last one is all the different verses that say the different things about Jesus, how they had to be spoken into this earth because God created man a speaking spirit. And so God had to get man speaking, a virgin shall conceive and give forth a son. God had to get that done.
Yeah.
In order for man to be able to be who he was making him on this earth, the only way that could happen is man had to open his mouth and say it. And so, that's what happened. Why did it take 4,000 years? Because God had to get man speaking, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son.
Yeah, he really did a great job explaining that.
Yep. He's probably going to go in more depth than this one, so
yep.
Here we go.
Here we go. In. Be right there, Sunday, to let you in. I think Sister Sunday keeps getting bounced out. Okay.
Am I here?
You are here. You are here.
Tell you, the number one thing I'm hearing all these different teachers say, you know, like Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, all the different teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'm hearing them all say is, it's already done.
Yes.
You've already been given the authority. There's nothing else God's going to do. And, it's like,
Make it happen. Take the authority. Nobody can do it for you. That's the thing I'm getting. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to. It's one of those things. I just heard him say that he keeps saying the church teaching it, but I will say it's the spirit of religion that has caused men of God to say, well, you know, if it's God's will, it'll just supernaturally happen. No. Nope. Graveyards are full all over the world of people who did not function in their spiritual authority. Well, Charlie Tremendous Jones said, the place of the greatest potential in the United States of America is the graveyard. Lost potential. People that never amounted to anything because they never learned how to stand up and take authority of their own life.
Yeah, wow.
And the only way you can ever learn how to do it is sooner or later you got to learn how do I stand up and take authority? How do I do that? Well, you got to not just hear messages. You got to study them. You got to write down the verses. It's the same thing we say every time we come here. Write down the verses. Not only write them down, but begin to speak them out loud. Because until this word gets inside of your heart, come the life-giving force that God wants it to be. Because it's got to get in your heart. And I can't do it for you. I can agree with you. But that's all I can do. And we do that. We do agree with you. But then there comes that point where you just have to say, wait, I have got to get my stuff together and I got to learn how to take authority. And if I don't have enough power from God and understanding of God's ways, then I'm going to have to go ahead and get that understanding of God and his ways.
And that's what we're doing. Yeah, the more of these messages we hear from the different ways of teaching them, the more it's going to get in our heart until we know.
Until we know.
Yeah.
Because we know.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Amen.
You know?
We do know.
I know, you know. All right.
We can do one more tonight, right?
Anybody else have a word that has to do with this process? Remember, we're learning how to be very, very focused in our time and our energy. So I don't know who else with us here.
Oh, we've got people everywhere. We got Dan and Mary.
I was muted. I've been talking and you can hear me because I was muted.
Oh, a few minutes ago, I was just talking away and you guys just talked right over me. Nobody even stopped to listen.
Anyway, I just want to say that it thrills me that he emphasized God never takes away our choice. He has given us so much authority and everything, and done everything for us, but he never forces his wishes on us. Like, he wants us to love him, return his love, and he gives us all authority to be filled with all his fullness of love. But he never forces us, and he never forces us to take authority against the devil. Nevertheless, he has given us that much authority. And I just love everything that Andrew Womack said tonight. Okay, that's it.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing. Because it's that free will that gives us the ability to have the full worship.
Uh-huh.
Because it's our choice, choose to do it anyways. That's what makes it true worship.
Yeah.
And God didn't create robots, not even Adam and Eve.
Yep.
And the only being that only does what he says is the angelic forces. But he didn't make them human. He made them incorporeal. That big old long word I was trying to say there, but I'm afraid it might bite my tongue. All right, let's do another one because I'm sure it's going to get gooder and gooder.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, gooder and gooder.
Here we go.
Oh, Jesus, please show us how to make all this happen. With all these people.
Well, there we go. It is 10 after 10. Do we want to do one more session tonight, or do we want to talk about what we've learned here tonight? This is so amazing. You know, he was talking about people, the guy that chased him out of the hospital. There are so many people, as well, that sickness or any of their, you know, infirmity, whatever it has become such an ingrained part of their life that they almost wouldn't know what to do with themselves, without it. I don't.
Yeah, it's like that joke about how sitting in the bar, you know, and crippled and whatever. So anyway, Jesus came into the bar and was healing everybody. And so this one particular guy said, stop, look. I am on 100% disability. Do not touch me. He didn't want to be healed, right? He's got a reason. Am I too loud?
Right. It was a little loud. It kind of startled me for a second. But that is true. I know Pastor actually had a previous person in his life that said those words too. He said, you know, that he would lose his disability and would be expected to go back to work, and he hadn't done that in many years, and he just didn't want to deal with that. And many,
so he had the choice. Yep, God is not going to take away our choices. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay, so we can either talk some more or watch another one. It was wonderful. I love it. I love everything he talked about.
Yeah, I do too. It's amazing revelation that he did yesterday or the day before. He talked about, was it him? So many of these messages lately that he was talking about, we do have some authority. Maybe that was Dutch Sheets that was talking about over our children, our immediate family, parents, or whatever. We do have spiritual authority on some level over those too, but nobody has greater spiritual authority than what we have over ourselves, each person. So that's a serious. Hi, Mary. What would you like to add to this?
I don't quite understand what he's saying when he says we need to take responsibility.
Uh-huh.
I understand the person that
there. Sorry, go ahead.
the person that needs healed needs to be a believer, mm-hmm. and the person like ourselves that has God in us, and he has given us the authority to heal, and so we're brave enough, and we go and we heal somebody. What does he mean by we must also accept the responsibility?
Say that again. I apologize. I was reading. It looks like Pastor wrote in here, it is our responsibility to enforce the dominion we have been given. God has overcome the enemy, yes, but he only placed it within us. If we don't go, the sick doesn't get healed. Oh, well, right. If we don't actually enforce it, then they don't get healed. Okay, so say your question again, Mary.
So we are strong enough in faith, mm-hmm. to exercise this healing power that God has given us.
Uh-huh.
Then he says something about we must also accept the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
That means actually using it. There's a difference between believing that something can happen and actually doing what you need to do to cause it to happen. I mean, you can say, I believe that God can heal. You actually have to step and say, be healed.
Be healed, right?
Well, right. Okay. I like that.
Well, and let's put it right down into your place, Mary. Not only did you want Don to get healed or get saved, but you did all the work in your house to make the program available so he could hear it and see it.
Yes.
So you took authority and moved into position to be able to flow, and then you saw it happen.
Sure did.
But if you didn't necessarily, if you always went in the back room and hid and never let him hear it or never tried to help him, as frustrating as it is sometimes trying to help some people be able to figure it out, how are they going to know if you and I don't step up and make it happen?
Is that what he means by responsibility?
Yeah.
That word is like messing with my head.
In what way would it be messing with you?
Okay, so I'm not going to apologize. I'm a gutsy person. And I can see myself going up to someone and say, hey, God's given me the authority. He is in me, and he has given me the authority to heal you. Be healed. I can do that. What is the responsibility after you say that?
To give God the glory.
That's it?
Right. Because it's not your power. Jesus said himself, of myself I can do nothing.
Right. And he is in us. And
yep.
he gives us that authority to do that.
Yep.
So when I get gutsy enough to do that, because I can see it happening.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So can we?
Yep.
By saying in the name of Jesus, you are acknowledging that this is God's power and
yep.
Jesus is involved, and you're only obeying God.
Right.
That this is not taking an ego trip for yourself. This is obedience to God.
Yep.
I have always felt, ever since I've been a young teenager, that if you put hands on somebody and God would heal them, I've always felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's happening.
It is the truth. It is the truth. And you remember he was talking in this last video, I think it was this last one, where Paul was looking intently at the man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have two people right now in my daily life in two different truck stops that every time I go in, I'm intently looking at them. The one man looks like he has MS, and he has to walk with two of those arm canes, one on each arm, and he can barely walk. He can barely move his legs. Well, in my mind is the thought where Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, how long should this son of Abraham still be bound?
Mm.
Well, he shouldn't. He should not be bound. But just because I see that doesn't mean he's going to receive it. And the first day I walked in there and saw him walking, I'm like, I'm going to pray for this guy. And then there was a hesitancy in my spirit. And every time I go in there, I'm like, all right, Jesus, what is this? And one time he's had all kinds of people come through and pray for him. There's all kinds of people said they're praying for him. And so I've been now in my spirit saying, I call this man healed. I call this man healed. I call this man healed. The other truck stop, there's a young lady that's very obviously got a demon. Every time I walk up, it's just her whole body starts to go into contortions and weird situations. And it's like a weird voice comes out of her mouth. And so I actually prayed for her the first day I went in there and saw her and said, in the name of Jesus, be made free, be made whole. You know, I prayed a prayer for her and blessed her. But it's still there.
How did she receive the prayer?
Oh, she received it, but she said, yes, you can pray for me. And she put her, I said, well, put your hand out here. And so I took her hand and prayed over her. But it wasn't like it was something, you know, my first thought was, is this just an oppression around her? Or is there something? I actually thought it was meth at first, but I don't think it's meth now. I think it's actually a demon on the inside of her. As I've been listening to the different men preach this week, I think it's actually a demon that's going to have to be, going to have to be driven out. And so, but see, that now that's one of our responsibilities, is to study the word and read the word enough from Jesus' examples that we're operating like Jesus. Just because Andrew said he cast a demon this way, or Brother Hagin said he cast a demon out this way, or Dr. Barkley, or even me, just because that's how we do it, or you have seen somebody do it, that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen for you. So that means we have to build a relationship with God where we truly are hearing his voice, so that anyone around us who has any demonic force messing with them at all, we now have the gift of the Spirit called the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom of exactly how to do it. And it'll be in many different ways. Like,
I agree with that.
Some people will. I've heard people say, oh, "I had a dream, and I saw this person in my dream." And then the next day, they walked into their business. Like, "Whoa, here's that guy in my dream," and prayed for him, and they were delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just walk up, and you can tell they're visibly troubled, or they got some kind of an ailment. And you just say, may I pray for you? And, you know, I like Dr. Barkley, that story he tells all the time of the lady in the mall, where he's standing in the women's section while Vicky tries on clothes. And the little girl looks at him and says, you're a man, like, get out of this woman's section. So he said, I walked out to the main aisle and just stood out there. And he said, as soon as I got there, the woman turns the corner up there down a long ways down the aisle. And he said, as soon as she turns the corner and comes into my sight, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to tell her she looks very nice in that dress. And then, like, it's something else, like, God loves you or something. He's like, oh, yeah, that's real good. My wife's back there changing clothes, and I'm going to tell this lady coming at me she looks very nice in this dress. But he said the closer she got to me, the more I realized, hold it, this is God. This is God. And when she got right to him, he said, ma'am, I just want you to know that you look very nice in that dress. And then he may have said something else, and she literally fell right into his arms. If he didn't reach out and grab her, she would have fallen. And he's like, nah, you know, this is your mind. Isn't that just a fine how to do? I obey God, and she just falls into my arms. And when she stepped around that corner up there where he saw her, she said in herself, I'm going to go home and kill myself. Nobody can even see that I'm a pretty lady and that I look good in this outfit. I don't matter to anybody. And God gave him the exact words that came out of her inside of her own being. And wherever they were preaching that night, they prayed for her. Him and Vicky prayed for her. And she came out to the church, and that's been, he said it during the conference, that's been 20-some years, and she's still a member of that church. And see, that's the part that's our responsibility of every day before we leave our house or do our daily life, that we spend time alone with God so we have that wide open communication with God Almighty, because every one of us are going to get to heaven and have a myriad of people that God wanted us to touch, and we just totally missed it because we were all consumed with our own life. And that's our responsibility. It's like, let's use this. Here's another example. It is my responsibility to make this program happen so that anybody who comes to YouTube and searches The Righteousness of Faith finds this program and can begin to get a revelation in every teaching we do, that is the righteousness of faith that gives us the ability to do anything that we are. I have a responsibility to make this program happen. If I didn't do it, I would be disobeying God. I will give an account of this when I stand on the other side. And it's good. And we're ready to hear the stories, Mary. Get bold.
Amen.
They're good stories. I'm enjoying it.
Hallelujah.
Hey, wait, that was a voice I didn't hear. Who was that? Who said they're good stories?
That was Mary.
I did.
Oh. All right. They are good stories.
They are?
I think last night was a great example from Andrew Womack, where he said, you know, they cast a demon out of that one person, and they became so well known for being able to get people free from drugs with no side effects that the church just grew and grew and grew. Mm-hmm. But then the danger of it is, don't, in the middle of the growth, go so far across the road that you get in the other ditch and everything has a demon.
That I liked about the ditches in the road, because I've seen myself do that. Gone too far one way, and yeah, it happens.
It's very easy to do that, overcompensate.
overcompensate. And you'd be like, whoa, I don't want to be in that ditch. And then you drive across, and you don't only go in the ditch, you run right out in the swamp. Whoops, you don't want to be out here either. I've been there before.
I got to tell you, I thank God I'm here on this program tonight, because last night program talking about casting out demons, and I tell you, my TV turned on by itself, about scared the heebie-jeebies out of me.
It did?
I'm not kidding. It did. It happened. And I don't know. And I'm still here, so.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I want to encourage everybody to continually do, and you may have already done it in your house, but just on a regular basis, go through your home and say, Jesus, is there anything in this home? Is there any artifact, any item in this home that is opening a door?
Yeah, to demonic influence, yeah.
But even let's take it out of the demonic influence so we stay out of that ditch, but put it into that's just going to frustrate my faith. And that could just be something as simple as you got a movie on your shelf, not anything really wrong with it, but God don't want you to have that movie. Why? Because they teach something in it that just ain't quite right, or who knows? But it doesn't matter because what you and I are continually doing is protecting our environment of faith. And anything of fear is going to affect that environment of faith. So get rid of anything with fear. Anything that is filled with cursing and vulgarity, get rid of it, because that's going to affect your environment of faith, because that is not, we're not of that spirit any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that means you throw about every movie you got in the house away, but well, it's true, because that's not our spirit.
I've been noticing a lot of verses in the scripture lately that talks about a filthy language. It's an abomination to God.
Mm-hmm.
Just the word filthy language.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have
said it. Well, wait. But that's a good statement, Phyllis. It's not just, you know, do your best not to have filthy language. No, the Bible actually calls it an abomination. See, that takes it. Because that's why we always take everything we do and go back to the Word. Because the Word is able to make us stand. And that's a good word about filthy language. Paul said coarse jesting. I mean, that, you know, many people say, oh, I was just teasing. No, you were coarse. You were abrasively rubbing on that person. Nothing wrong with having fun and just being normal, fun-filled people. But when it begins to be abrasive and we look at people and say, oh, that's just who I am, get over me. No, that's not God. You get over yourself and make sure you do it pretty quick, because you might not be close to me if you are going to continually be abrasive. I love to have fun and joke and tease, but we've got to continue to be careful about it. You know, another one of Paul's statement is, let your conversation be that which edifies one another.
Yeah.
Builds up one another. And so that's what we got to do. And that is our responsibility to do it. You can't look at Jesus and say, well, why aren't you? And he's going to look down from heaven and say, because I sent you.
Amen.
Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Go ye. Brother Hagin, we're going to study Brother Hagin. When we get finished with this, he's got three messages. When we get finished with Andrew Womack, we're going to study his. And in one of them, he talks about Jesus showing up in a vision to him. And a demon showing up. And I'll let him tell the story, you know, when we watch it. You and I, every day, that's why it's not just read your chapter a day and say 5 minutes of prayer. That is not what this kingdom is all about. This kingdom is about walk with God, build a relationship with your Father. It is so much more than read your one chapter a day and say a few minutes of prayer. No, it is 24/7, 365 being in tune with Almighty God. and which is what the Holy Spirit, it just has a fire on the inside of me that this program will be. I'm going to get everybody in the righteousness of faith and realize that our Father wants us to be one with him.
Yeah.
He's not coming down to be one with us. He wants us to go up and be one with him.
Amen.
And
to take
of course
his
that
kingdom
will.
Back for him.
Yes. Amen. Amen. You guys got me preaching. I should be letting other people communicate too. What time is it?
It is almost 20 to 11.
Wow. It's that time then.
It is that time.
Oh.
Be a gun.
I have another question.
All right.
Go ahead.
Have you heard anybody use the word W-O-K-E?
Woke?
Have you heard it?
Yeah.
Was that a yes you have?
Yes.
I made a statement on Facebook today. I don't know whether it was right or wrong, but they use it. And somebody kept saying, what does it mean? What is it? And I didn't know either. And, you know, kind of got a definition of it. It's one of these LGBTQ things. And I just made the statement, you know, hey, it's not a word that God created. It's not in the Bible. Just don't use it. Maybe I was wrong, but I said it.
Did somebody come on and say something to you about it?
I don't know. I didn't waste my space and stay on this kind of mode. I don't know. It had something to do with that new candy bar they're putting out or something. The Hershey's candy bar. They got a Johnny's candy bar now or something.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness.
No, it's got something about a he-she, and yeah, I don't waste my space. People aren't going to buy Hershey's anymore, and I don't blame them if they got that on there.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. That is right. And so you weren't wrong in correcting that, Mary.
Well, I did. I don't know if they said anything, but it just, you know, why advertise it? Why leave it alone?
Because it's demons. It just is.
Right.
It is
right.
Demonic. Trying to make themselves big and in every part of everyone's life. There's...
Yeah, you know, why fertilize a word? You know, just leave it alone. Let it die down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, I told them, leave it alone. God didn't make it. And I moved on.
Yep. So it has absolutely no value.
Right. I am enjoying these programs, though. I really am.
Aren't they great? I love it, too. I love it,
yeah.
Too. Okay. Are we doing communion now? Are we doing an...
Yeah, we better. Yeah.
I was going to say it's kind of late to do another session as much as we'd all love to just sit here and do 5 more hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I am not set up to do communion tonight, though. Lord, forgive me.
There, everybody go get your communion elements while I look up the communion verses to post. And then I'll read the verses. Unless someone else wants to read the verses, then by all means, feel free to do that.
I can actually read them tonight myself.
Oh, well, alrighty.
Is that all right with you?
That's just fine with me.
Are you sure?
We love to hear you read the word whenever you can.
Okay, I'm almost there. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Goodness sakes alive. Let's go.
Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to run downstairs and get my stuff.
Lord, please help Mary run downstairs and get her stuff.
Most all tonight, so.
Just make sure you pray the prayer, Mary.
Okay.
Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And we do this on a regular basis here, and we're glad to have you with us tonight to do it with us also. You know, you might say, well, do we have to have an apostle, a prophet, a bishop with us? No. Jesus said to the disciples, the Last Supper, as often as you do this. Didn't say as often as you apostles all gather together and have one of you lead it because you're the great apostles. He made it very personal. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And you know, you think about Jesus' statement when he was in the Last Supper. His statement was, not the Last Supper, in the message when he told everybody, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be a partaker in the kingdom. And of course, there was a whole bunch of people that on that day went back and didn't follow him anymore. But I want you to know this, he addressed them, you, to each one personally, because what happened on the day of the crucifixion is the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, opening up the Holy of Holies to you and to me, and make it so that every one of us have access. And that's why the communion elements, although it's a very holy process, it is personal to every one of us as often as we want to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and he blessed it. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, till he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love, torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, in the mighty name of Jesus, we welcome you to be a part of this tonight. Now, we're going to be praying the prayer of salvation. And We want everyone to pray it with us. Prayer of salvation is how you can examine yourself. This is what we teach you, every one of us, to examine ourselves. And, you know, the thing that makes you in the right place to receive the communion elements is that you have examined yourself. And then if you see something inside your heart that you need to fix, well, then fix it. If you don't see anything inside your heart you need to fix, well, in all reality, there's coming a day when you will be living and walking in the paths of righteousness, and you won't have to be continually looking for something to fix, because you'll just be walking with God every single day of your life. And it doesn't matter. Whatever he says to you, you'll do it. And it'll be a blessing. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray. Those of you that's online with us on Zoom, you can turn your mics on and pray it with us. We enjoy that. It kind of sounds like church. I like that. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father,
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again just for me.
Put your arms out and just say it. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life
with all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life as a believer every day.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody just say it with me. Welcome to the kingdom of God.
Welcome to the kingdom of God.
Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you with us. You just prayed the prayer of salvation. Now, many people will say to you, there, you got that done. That is what you needed to do. There, now that's done. Well, okay, yeah, that's what you needed to do. But in all reality, that's just the first step of what you needed to do. There's a whole lot more to this Christian life, prayer of salvation. That's just the first step that got you into that place where you can look and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I receive you. And now help me walk with you every day of my life. And he is definitely going to do that. And now think about this. I know that when you get born again and you pray that prayer for the first time, many amazing things happen. I remember one time we prayed that prayer with a lady, and she literally, nobody even touched her. Nobody laid hands on her or nothing. She literally launched out of her shoes and flew back from the altar and banged her head on the first pew like 8 feet.
Wow.
Like, nobody even touched. I'm just standing there in the platform like, did you see that? And, you know, she's just out in the Holy Spirit. Nobody even touched her. She just come up and we just prayed a prayer. Well, You know, about 10 minutes later, she starts coming back from being out in the realms of glory with God. Her glasses broke when they hit the ground. Her boyfriend comes to the front of the building. He's after me. I'm like, hey, everything's all right, man. Just sit down here. Watch us. Watch what God's doing. And when she came back to, because where you are is you're with God, and God's ministering to you in a way your human flesh can't handle. She says to me, I'm the pastor. She said, why did my friend, my number one helper, why did Chalmer throw water on me? I'm like, ain't nobody throw no water on you? She goes, yes, you did. I felt it. I said, check your shirt. She had a t-shirt on. She looks down. Her shirt's dry. She goes, well, where did the water come from? I said, you just got touched by Almighty God. I don't know where the water comes from. I don't know how you feel it when there's no water there, but you definitely felt like it went all over. She said, I feel like it washed me completely. So a pretty radical born-again experience.
Yeah.
And then there's other people that they pray the prayer. They know on the inside that something changed, but there's nothing radical about it. Just on the inside, you know, something changed. Because what just happened is your spirit man was brought back to life. After Adam and Eve sinned, their spirit man lost the communication with God, that one-on-one communication, and that's just been restored. Jesus is the light of the world, so your being is filled with light. Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith, so now you have Jesus' faith to function in. Your righteousness and mine will never be good enough to get you into heaven. So you got to use Jesus' righteousness, and he just made you into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That just happened. You might say, Pastor, how will I ever figure it out? Don't worry about it. Just show up the next time we're live, and you'll grow from that one, and you'll grow from that one. Send me an email and say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer today, and I got some good videos that will help you get started in your Christian life. Buy a Bible. I recommend the New King James Version. That's the one I carry. I believe it's probably the most accurate in the modern day language that we have to the actual translation of the Bible. And so that's my recommendation. But read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And then click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and be with us every time that we go live. And it'll be a blessing to you and to your family. In Jesus' mighty name, bring your whole family around. Go to the website. Click on the communion tab. Receive communion in your house every single day. It's all written out for you right there. Ready? Pray. Lift your communion elements up and pray this prayer with me. And I sat here this whole time and didn't get my communion elements ready. Hold on. Might have a piece of bread and some water, grape juice. Tonight, I've got water and a Cheez-It. Hold your elements up. Let's pray over them. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Love, do you have the communion prayer all wrote out in a note?
I don't.
Okay.
Remind me when we're finished
to make sure I send that to you, because I've already got it all done.
Oh, okay.
I really like the fact that we can all read it together, but that's all right. Here we go. Pray this with me. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Let's receive the body of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you make it larger print?
Let's see.
Control plus, probably.
Whoops.
Sister Lynn has pulled up the website that has the communion prayer on it. Maybe just scooch it out with your fingers.
That didn't do it. There we go.
There you go. Well, it just tells me I got to make the font on the website a lot larger. Because I can't read that. All right.
Oh, you can.
Hold your communion juice up. Let's pray together. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things are made new.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name.
When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive the juice together. Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's sing our song about the blood. What can wash
whoops, what happened here?
and make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah, and we thank you, Jesus. Well, Pastor was bounced out again, obviously.
He missed our singing.
Oh, and here he is back again. Are you back?
Looks like somebody bounced me out there.
Well, you missed some good singing.
Well, all right. Hallelujah. You missed my good singing. I was just singing away. Then I look down and it's like, something ain't right. Now, I want to say this again about the communion elements. And I say this, you know, often. But when you say the prayer with us, don't just say words. Because saying words has no value to it if you're just repeating words for words.
Yep.
In the kingdom, there's no value to 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers.
Yep.
There's no value to that. This is man in an erroneous understanding all about. And so when you pray, you've got to enter in to your, this is what Jesus said, you enter into your secret place and pray to the Father in heaven. And the Father who sees and hears in secret will reward you openly. And so I want to, even though Our words that we say are the same words every single time we come here, pretty much. It's not said out of repetition. It's said from a relationship with God that says, thank you that your blood was shed. You know, when we're speaking about the body, it says, every joint is supplying in my body. You are speaking health over your body when you say that. You are literally declaring health and strength over your body when you say that. And so, you know, I just encourage you that you look and see, you know, you listen and you hear it. That's why I want us to begin to have these words up on the screen so that we can all say them together and actually get our eyes on them. When you hear the prayer about the broken body and the bloodshed, you're going to have a very solid biblical understanding of his body broken and his bloodshed. And then as you continually go, you'll be like, wow, this has really got a powerful force to it. And it really does in Jesus' mighty name. Well, remember, tonight's teaching was from Andrew Womack. W-O-M-M-A-K or A-C-K?
C-K.
Huh?
C-K.
A-C-K, okay. And so if you want to hear them again, you can just go to YouTube and search up Andrew Womack, Spirit, the Believer's Authority, and you should be able to find it. The one we're doing has 24 videos in it. And so, you know, I encourage you to do that. I truly do. And it gives you the ability to study it a little more effectively. And, you know, when we get done with Andrew, I'm probably going to teach a message or two on it myself. And then probably next week, we're going to be studying Brother Hagin's message on spiritual authority. He's got three of them. And, of course, Brother Hagin's one of the most prevalent teachers of spiritual authority there has been in the body of Christ because he truly understood it. And Jesus himself appeared to Brother Hagin in a vision and explained it all to him. And why doesn't Jesus do that with everybody? Don't know. But Jesus does exactly what the Father tells him to do. And so thank God that Jesus is an obedient son.
Amen.
And he does the Father's will. Well, that's all we got. I think tonight I want to read Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 14 through 23 again as our closing verses, because it helps us, no matter what has been said about the enemy, it helps us end the program on, and this is who Jesus is, because it really doesn't matter what our enemy is. He has been so defeated, he has no ability to do anything against us. And so I'll give Sister Phyllis a little time. Let me know when you got. All right, here we go.
Okay, Ephesians 1, 14 through 23. Okay, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of inheritance until the redemption that purchased possession to praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Christ, the Father of glory, may Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of, okay, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sealed him at his right hand, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Amen. Amen.
And do I have permission to read Ephesians 3? Let's see.
19 and 20, sir.
That's it, yeah. To know the love of, let's see.
Okay.
To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I love that benediction too. Thank you.
Amen. I do too, because he says exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. And that's pretty big, because God's got some really big thoughts if we'll just hook into his thoughts and just do what he gives us to do.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's what we got for tonight. We bless all of you, those of you on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. May God richly bless you, and may his presence be with you. I declare tonight, while you sleep, the sleep of the righteous is blessed. You'll lie down in peace and safety all night long. And while you're sleeping, deep sleep will come upon you, and God will speak to you in dreams and visions and seal your instruction inside of you so that you know exactly what to do and how to get it done in Jesus' mighty name.
I agree. I agree. I accept it. Thank you so much.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's what we got to do. Agree with the word of God. All right.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless you.